Now, just to give you an idea, this is an example, concrete example. We have the points which are given by the diamonds, and the ones which are given by the triangles. Okay? And I would like to know how similar these two are. Okay? Considering that the purple has to go onto the purple, the green onto the green, and so on. Okay? We will learn algorithms. Okay? But an algorithm, one of the algorithms we will learn, works almost this way. It starts, and iteration by iteration, it gives a better approximation, a better similarity. Okay? So it runs this way. I think if it runs, yeah. It goes up there, and then they start to move. This is a zoom, okay? And at each iteration, it's trying to find a better similarity. Okay? And, no, it did not stop yet. And this is, you know, you see now the moves are very small, and this is the best you can get. Okay, so before Christmas we will see the algorithms that's behind this this very simple example. So, but now my question is, how do we turn this problem into an optimization problem? Okay. And so, what are we allowed to do? We are allowed to rotate, translate, and shrink or dilate. Okay? So, suppose you have a point. R2, let's say it is here, and we want to rotate it of some angle, okay? Some angle theta, and then we want it to go here, okay? How do you do this? Well, there is a rotation matrix which depends on the angle, and it is done this way. The elements are the cosine of theta on the diagonal, and on the anti-diagonal they are minus the sine and the sine of theta. Okay? So, to perform a rotation, you choose an angle and you apply this matrix to your point. Let's say to your point Q. And you get a different point, which is given by a rotation around the origin. Then you can translate a point. Translate means that you add another vector. Okay, you are given a point here. You simply add another point here, D, and you translate your point from here to here. That's simple. And then, there is this last operation you can do. You can dilate or shrink the point. How do you do that? You simply multiply it by a number. Okay? You simply multiply it by any number. You can also take negative numbers so that you go from Q to eta times Q, If this is Q, you take eta equal to 2, you move up here. If you take eta equal minus 1, actually you are reflecting around the origin, with respect to the origin. Okay. So these are the operations we are allowed to do. Are they clear to you? Okay. We rotate the point, we translate the point, we dilatate the point. Okay. We can put all of these together in this way. We move Q, we make a rotation, we dilatate, and then we add a translation. I'm expecting one question. Is the order of the operation relevant? Okay. The answer is no. You dilatate and then you rotate, or vice versa, it's the same. You translate and then you rotate. Actually, you are rotating and translating of a different vector. Okay. So the order in which you perform the three kinds of operation is not relevant. Okay. So let's say, how do I measure how much the two sets of points differ one from the other after I perform these operations? Well, I measure the distance between pairs of points. Let's say, for the time being, I'm considering the situation in which I want to take Qi onto Pj. Okay? I measure the distance of the transform point from the point where I'm aiming at. And how can I measure this? I take the north. Or the square of the norm. Okay. What's the difference between the two? Main difference is that when we are dealing with a norm, we are dealing with a convex function which might be non-differentiable at some point. Okay. When you take the square, you're guaranteed that the function is differentiable everywhere. Okay. You get rid of the square root. But it is a measure of the distance as well. It's the square of the distance. So if actually after the transformation Qi is over, is exactly at point Qj, this distance is zero. Okay? Well, I can make the situation in which I want to bring every point onto the corresponding ordered point. So I want to take Qi onto Pi. So to measure the quality of this operation for a given theta, for a given vector d, for a given coefficient eta, I simply measure this summing all over the points. Okay. This is a function which depends on theta, on d, let's write it d1 and d2, both components, and on the coefficient theta. It's a function of four variables. And my problem is exactly to minimize this function of four variables. So minimize f of theta d1 d2 theta, and we don't have constraint because theta can be any angle, d1 and d2 can be any coefficient, and theta can be any coefficient as well. Oh, you could make an objection. Actually, angles can go from 0 to 2 times p. Okay? I mean, 360 gradi. 360 degrees. There's no more than that. But there are multiples, okay? If rather than theta, then eta you take 3 times theta, you get, if you take, for instance, theta and theta plus 2 times p, you get the same matrix, okay? So, actually here I could write this constraint. The angle has to be between 0 and 2p. But there is no reason to impose a constraint when you don't need to. Okay? So this is a general rule. If two things are equivalent, considering the constraint or not considering the constraint, please do not have the constraint. Okay? Because as we will see, dealing with unconstrained problem is much more convenient than dealing with constrained problems, because you don't have to take care of any kind of constraint. Okay? So, indeed, this would be correct as well, but this sounds nicer, because here I can tell you this is an unconstrained optimization problem. Okay? If I put this one, I cannot tell you it anymore. Well, this problem, done this way, is once again a problem we have seen in the very first lecture. These kind of problems are called least squares. Why? Because least, it means we want to minimize, and square comes from the fact that we are considering a sum of squares, okay? If you take this component by component, all these differences are squared, okay? And in particular, the function inside here is non-linear as a function of theta, because you have the cosine, you have the sine. So this is, in particular, a non-linear least square problem. Okay? Before Christmas, Professor Bevilacqua will teach you how to solve linear least square problems, and I will use lectures, his results, to show you how to solve non-linear least squares problem. Okay? So we'll do the linear case, I will do the non-linear case. What if I'm not interested in the order of the points? Okay? I feel free to take the first point onto the second onto the fourth, and so on. Okay? This doesn't measure this thing anymore. So let's take a permutation. Okay? A permutation of 1, 2, k. Okay? It means a 1 to 1 function from 1 to k to on two 1-2 case. So one goes into 5, one goes, let's make an example of 4. One goes into 4, 2 goes into 3, 3 goes into 1, and 2-4 goes into 2. Okay? You fix one of these permutations, let's say, and so you simply do the same thing, but here, rather than I, you put sigma I. Okay? You fix it. I want to take 1 onto 4, 2 onto 3, and so on, so I consider the permutation. And then I have to compare this for all possible permutations and take the best one. So I take this and I take the minimum all over, or let's call it this way. Let's call capital P the family of all permutations. Okay? So P is the family of permutations of K values. So this is the more general problem you get. It's pretty bad. There are two reasons why it is pretty bad. It's difficult to compute this function. Why is it difficult? How many permutations do you have? K factorial. Okay. So you have to do this whenever you fix theta, d1, d2, and eta, you have to compute these quantities k factorial times. Okay? So it's pretty hard. I mean, unless you have very few points, it takes a long time. And there's also another drawback. You can show that generally this function f is not differentiable. And the reason why it is not differentiable is because you in the definition of the function you have to take the minimum of quantities which depend on the variables. Okay? I don't yet have the lecture notes in English for this, but I have the notes in Italian, and there you can find an example where you have just 2 points. I consider simply a rotation, and I show you that the function does not have a directional derivative. So, and we know that if a function is differentiable, then it must have directional derivatives. So the function is not differentiable, since it is missing directional derivatives. Okay? So, I will teach you only how to solve this kind of problem, the first one, the non-linear least squares, okay? Not this one. Probably this kind of problem requires some heuristic techniques rather than some algorithms for which you can prove convergence. A last remark, and then I'm going to the last kind of application, which I must thank him for asking during the break. You can consider even more general problem in which the two sets of points do not have the same cardinality. Okay? And you just try to move the points, the set of points with least cardinality, onto a subset of the other group of points. Okay? And there also you have the trouble that since the cardinality are not the same, you have to choose the subset first. So you encounter this trouble thing, this kind of trouble thing. Questions? Curiosities? Okay, so this was given as a mathematical game. But I told you it has many applications. Now, I'm going to show you last family of problems, which come which you will recognize they come from application much easier, and which fall inside a family of application problems which are very popular in optimization. Many people have been working on this kind of problems. And this area is called location, and the problem I'm going to the problems I'm going to show you are called facility location. So here it is. I can tell you the fairy tale of this. Let's suppose there is no crisis, and rather than shutting down hospitals, I want to build a new hospital, okay, in a region, let's say in an area of Tuscany. Where to build it? Okay, an hospital must serve cities and villages. Okay, so I must choose a convenient place to build a hospital in such a way that I provide, let's say, the best possible service. Okay? I'm giving you another fairy tale. No, this probably is less a fairy tale. Because we put up new antennas. You need to put up a new antenna for a radio signal, okay? For mobiles, for instance. Where to put it? Okay? I would like to cover some area where there are towns and villages, and I want to cover it in the best possible way, in such a way that the signal is as strong as possible in most of these places. Okay? I could go on for hours giving you examples. Okay? You can think it by yourself. There is also the opposite, where you want to put the facility as far as possible from cities and villages. Okay? Nuclear plant. We don't build them in that. Okay. Also, you can imagine other obnoxious facilities. But also there are applications in statistics, in physics, measuring errors, or, this is more network design, and I will give you... So, the point, mathematically, the problem is the same. It can go in Rn, but it, for application, generally, the n is equal to 2, okay? It's the length. Or at most R3, but let's make it in a range. I have two points, once again, Q1, Q2, Qk. Okay, and I want to choose. I want to choose a place, which means a point X in Rn, where to put my facility. Okay. So what I have to decide is modeled through a point X of Rn. I have to choose a point X in Rn. Okay. Now I must comply to my statement. Choose the best possible point. Okay? I have to address this question. What does it mean, the best possible point? Okay? I can imagine of different ideas of what is best. Let's make this more concrete, trying to build some of this function. Okay, I would like the facility to be as close as possible to every point?
Well, let's measure these distances. The distances of each point Qi from S. Okay? And let's come all over the point. Okay? This is some quantity that I may wish to minimize. Okay? This is a possible, let's say this is the first one. This is known as the Weber problem. If n is equal to 8k is equal to 3, this is also known as the Steiner tree problem, and the solution of this problem is called the Fermat point. Okay, it goes back to old times, the problem, and they built they had geometrical reasoning, geometrical construction to find the points. But essentially, it is this minimization problem. You want to minimize the sum of the distances. Okay, suppose you want to locate here a facility where you need to build then pipelines to every other point. Okay, just directly. So it means that I have to build this, 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 and I have to build this, and this other is forbidden. Okay, this is maximizing the quantity of pipelines I'm building. Okay. As I told you, even today, the norm is, so this is a convex function. But this is not very good because it is non-differentiable where the argument here is zero, so in each of these points the function is not differentiable. So another possibility, rather than taking the norm, you take the square of the norm. And this is called the centroid problem. So that the solution of this problem is known as the centroid point. The centroid of Q1, Q2, Qk. A third possibility to measure the quality, well, let's think it this way. I'm building an hospital. People who are close to the hospital will be happy. Okay? People who are very far from the hospital are unhappy. Okay? They have to travel too much to go to the hospital. So, rather than minimizing the sum of these quantities, I could try to minimize the maximum distance. Okay? I consider each distance and then I take the maximum of all these distances, the maximum of this for E equal 1, E 2, up to here, and I wish to minimize this. Actually, minimizing the distance is equivalent to minimizing the square of the distances. Okay? Because if 3 is less than 7, then 3 square is less than 7 square. So here it makes a difference. Here it is exactly the same. And this is known as the Chebyshev center point problem. The problem of the Chebyshev center. Chebyshev is Russian, so the name is written in a different way according to where you look at it. One
One of the many is this. I'm pretty sure you will find some also with a T. Yeah, they have a different alphabet. So, okay, so the problem mathematically is to minimize one of these functions. Let me generally denote it by F prime. All over the full space. So this is unconstrained optimization as well. Okay. And we have three different minimization problems. Okay. The square of the norm is a convex function, so you can prove this is a convex function as well. You can compute the Hessian matrix and you will find it is positive definite. And this is a convex function, you are taking the pointwise maximum of convex function, so the pointwise maximum of convex function is convex, so this is convex as well. Both the three, all the three problems are convex optimization problems. Okay? But only the second one has a differentiable function as object, as the objective function. Why is this not, okay, we knew this. Why is this not differentiable? Whenever you have this kind of operator, you have trouble at point in which the maximum is not given by a unique quantity. I give you a very simple example in one variable. Take x squared, the function is this, take x squared minus 2, the function is this and this is 2, this is 0, this is x squared, this is x minus 2 squared. Okay? The maximum of the two functions is here, is this function here. If you try to compute the derivative here, you find it does not exist, because on this side you have, let's check this graphically. The tangent will be done this way, and here the tangent will be done this way. Okay? It's not unique. So when you have these kind of operators inside the definition of your function, it's very unlikely that the function is differentiable. So the unique problem we can actually explicitly solve through the tools we have up to now is the second one, it's the centroid problem. So, it's a convex optimization problem, so necessary and sufficient condition for x to be an optimal solution, a minimum point, is that the gradient is zero at the point. Now we need to compute the gradient. Okay. You have a sum, so it is enough to compute the gradient of each term. And we have already done this. If you make the derivative, the derivative becomes qi minus x, and you have 2 and minus in front of it. Okay? I mean, you should do it component by component, but component by component, the function f2 of x, sorry, the norm of qi minus x squared is the sum of the component of qi, let's say qi component j minus xj squared, the sum all over all j's. Okay? Okay, so when you do the derivative with respect to xj, you take the 2 off and then you have a minus. So we have this formula, and from this formula we can easily compute where for which x this is 0. Okay? So this is 0 if and only if x is equal, so 2 doesn't matter because you have to ask is equal 0, so this has to be 0, you are summing it k times, so 1 over k, the sum of all qi's. So we have an explicit formula for the centroid. It's a vector whose components are given by the sum of the corresponding components of all the points qi, and then you take the mean. Okay? Each component is the mean of the components of the q points. I'm almost done. let's take the first or the second problem. Let's suppose these are terms. Okay, I mean, this could be having thousands of inhabitants, and this could have just hundreds. Okay? This could be a big city, this could be a very, very small village. Are they supposed to weigh the same? Well, no. You could have, for instance, here some weights, which could be, in this example, the number of people there. Okay? And so you get what are called the weighted location problems. Okay? And think about the weighted Weber problem. Okay? The Weber problem is telling you the sum of all these distances. Okay? If you compute this distance for each person which stays here, this means you are computing the distance or the travel time for each person separately. Okay? If I have 10 people, I'm computing this 10 times. Okay? So somehow this problem, for instance in demography, could be where MI is the population of people in place QI, gives you the so-called center of the population, okay? The interpretation is the point where the total time of travel for all users, total means summing it for all users, is minimum, okay? And okay, the centroid problem doesn't change, I mean, keeps being differentiable. What is the difference is that here you have some mi. Okay? So, when you take this to be zero, what you get is no more this, because each time you consider m is computed mi times, okay? So you are getting 1 over the sum of mi all over k of the sum of mi qi. Does this formula remind you of anything? think now in terms of physics. These are points, and these coefficients are the mass of the point. Okay? This is exactly the definition of the center of mass. I'm ending the this overview, telling you, well, here I took the Euclidean norm, or if you want to say it's more mathematically, the two norm, okay? You could, for instance, use another norm. For instance, you could use the one norm, which is the sum of the absolute values, okay? This corresponds to distances which are computed just moving along along this kind of lines. Okay? If the distance between these two points is no longer the segment, but you move first along the first component, then along the second component. Okay? And the distance is the sum of these two. You know that when you have a norm, you have a corresponding distance. This kind of distance is called, this distance is called the Manhattan distance, because you can move just orthogonally, okay? Like Manhattan is done, where the streets are all parallel and orthogonal. Okay? Trouble here, this norm is once again a convex function, but it is not differentiable, because here you have absolute values. Okay? Last remark I give you, this is the case in which you want to put one coefficient. Okay? There might be problems where you would like to put two or even more facilities. Okay? So your variables would be x, let's say x1 for the first facility, x2 for the second facility, and so on. So that you have your number of variables are n times the number of facilities you want to allocate. Okay? So I could spend a whole course on this topic, okay? Kind of applications and algorithms. So this is it. I've shown you different kinds of application of unconstrained optimization. First was coming from physics. The second was a mathematical game with a lot of concrete application. And this comes from mainly from logistics. Okay? So that's it.